So I have a very similar testimony to Jeff. So it's going to sound like just a repeat of what he just said. So my name is Adam Scriven. I was born and raised in this congregation, so I know that the majority of you know me. In fact, I expect that some of you could tell parts of my story more effectively than I can. In the style of Pastor Gutierrez's announcement this morning, I was thinking of having some of you just shout out parts of my story from the congregation, but I was a bit afraid of what would come out, so I decided to go a different route. I will attempt to share my history of as my history in this congregation as a child of Christ, as a son of this congregation, and as a descendant of countless believers before me. I did not choose to become a believer or to come into this congregation. I mean, I know that it's true for all of us, but I mean, humanly speaking, I was born into this church, and except for a short period while I was away at college, I have always attended this church. I was baptized here as an infant, probably exactly here, and attended Sunday school and was taught by many who are still in this congregation. I was a shepherd and a wise man and an angel multiple times, though I was never Joseph, and I'm not sure why that I never got that role. I went to Heritage Christian School from kindergarten through eighth grade. I went to Covenant High School from 9th through 12th grade and attended and graduated from Covenant College. After college, I didn't seek to be involved in any specific ministries of this church, but the Lord placed me in several throughout, through many in this congregation nonetheless. Elder Gross convinced me, despite a great amount of hesitancy on my part, to pick up the mantle of co-teaching first and second grade boys Sunday school class for 10 years. Well, he didn't convince me to teach for 10 years. He probably told me it'd be a year or two a max, and I was too naive to know not to trust him at that point. I was similarly called into helping with junior high youth group, becoming a deacon, serving on the CHS school board, superintending the Children's Sunday School program. However, the story of my faith and my history at Faith Presbyterian is much more about the legacy of those servants who came before me, and who worked tirelessly to ensure that I and my siblings and my peers and the other children in this congregation grew up knowing and loving the Lord. I think of my grandfather, George Miliciano, who from my earliest age would delight in talking to me and my siblings about our Heavenly Father. He would greet us every time we saw him with two questions: do you love me, and do you love the Savior? Our affirmative response gave him immense delight every time, as if it had been the first time he heard that from us. He devoted himself and his finances and his time to ensuring that we were raised and educated in the Word. When I was in high school, I struggled to memorize Bible passages that were assigned, so my grandfather took me out to breakfast every Saturday morning to practice reciting the scriptures with me, and he promised me a steak dinner if I got an A on my final exam. It's still one of the best steak dinners I've ever had. George Miliciano's legacy has continued in this congregation and around the world long after he went home to his Savior in 2010. I think of my parents, Tim and Lorraine Scriven, who raised my siblings and me to have an unwavering faith in the Lord. I think of my dad, who has served both on the diaconate and on the session in this congregation. He has served in leadership at Youth for Christ, and he serves more broadly in our community. He taught me an extremely important lesson when I was younger that I am constantly reminded of. We have an immense responsibility as bearers of Christ's name to show the love of Christ to every person we encounter. And one of the most important things we can do for them is to raise their dignity. It can be as uncomplicated as an act of engaging strangers at the grocery store or simply not speaking poorly about someone, whether they are present or not. Each encounter with us as Christians should be a glimpse of what heaven will look like. And this is a lesson that I certainly fail at regularly, but one that I continue to strive for. I think of my mom, who has an unwavering faith of the Lord's provision and of his unearned love for us. It's a faith that I often envy and one that I hope to have. This faith that no matter what our circumstances, no matter what our difficulties, the Lord truly loves us and knows and wants what's best for us. It's a faith that has emboldened her to do big things because of her great trust that God, her Father, is much bigger. I think of the many teachers and leadership from this church who may not have been cognizant of the impact that they had on me over the decades. It's an interesting reality to grow up under the preaching of Pastor Rayburn and how much depth of Scripture permeates over the course of around 100 sermons a year for more than 30 years. I think of the several pastors that have served this congregation throughout my lifetime that have invested in me for no other reason than that they cared. Pastors including Pastor Scogan, Burkett, DeMass, Krulish, Nicoletti, and Gutierrez. Pastors who were involved in various aspects of my life and the life of this congregation. I think of the elders and deacons and Sunday school teachers and youth group leaders, the mentors and friends that have all influenced who I am and who I have yet to become. I think of my family, my wife Erica, who has been a friend to me since her early childhood and who has honed so much of how I think and how I care about others. I think of my children, Ezra, Josetta, Ariana, and Abraham, who teach me every day what it is like to become more like Christ, how I fail at that, and how unconditional love looks even in my failures. I'm so thankful to the Lord every day for giving me this family and for who each of them is. And I think of every one of you. As I reflect back on who I am in this congregation and even who I am in Christ, it's much easier for me to think of who you are, how each one of you has played a role in my life, and how you continue to do so, even if you can't think specifically of how that is. There are a few of you that perhaps I have not yet met or am just starting to get to know, but I see how you raise your children, or how you interact with your spouses, or how you have plugged yourself into this congregation. You are part of our family and this family, and I'm so grateful to get to be part of your family. We were asked to answer the question of why we feel called to this role as an elder of faith and why we agreed to stand. I told Stephen that the most honest answer is that I have difficulty saying no when asked to do something. But the truth is that I agreed to stand as an elder candidate because I believe that it's because of this congregation that I am who I am, and that I am willing to serve, this church however the Lord through this congregation sees fit. It has been a pleasure and an honor to serve this church as a deacon, and I will, as long as the Lord wills it, continue to serve where I'm led.